Welcome back. 4:17, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. It's Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. Charles Hurt writes the nuclear option column here in the Washington Times, and this week's column is entitled, Brutal Week for Obama, the Worst of His Presidency. This story has gone national, too. I saw it a little while ago. Hi, Charlie, how are you?
I'm real good, Andy. Good to be with you.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as it sounded, was it?
Oh, my God. I honestly was racking my brain. I don't even think, like, in the doldrums of the Lewinsky scandal could have been as bad as, you know, that was spread out over months and even years.
Yeah.
For Bill Clinton. This was just like a total week of just, he pratfalled on the national stage. He did a pratfall on the global stage. I mean, it was like everything. I can't imagine how you could have possibly made it an any worse week than it was for President Obama.
All right. Well, let's start with what the Trayvon Martin story. How he waded into that in the Rose Garden last Friday.
Yeah, it was just like that incident with the Harvard professor where he didn't know anything. He didn't know the details. He didn't know what was going on. So he decided to go out there and he helped. Spark. We're talking about a tragedy here, a tragedy in which a teenager kid is killed. It's just an absolute tragedy, whether you're black, white, or whatever. It's a tragedy. And this guy walks out and takes an absolute tragedy and helps spark it into this huge race thing where by saying that, you know, the Americans need to do the soul searching, and then he did that whole bizarre thing about how he looks like the kid. Or the kid looks like he could have been his son.
Yeah.
It was just totally inappropriate for that sort of thing. And then it launched into this whole thing that we've been, you know, dealing with for a week now, where it's been a really ugly, ugly race thing. When really, what we all should just be thinking about is how what a sad tragedy that a 17-year-old kid got killed.
Yeah. Then of course he goes to South Korea and we hear the off mic comments, to the Russian president, which set off lots of alarms back here.
Yeah, which I would like to, I'm going to blame you for being part of the media and not me, because all of your brethren in the media decided that this was not a big story and they're all ignoring it, or the ones that aren't ignoring it, like the Washington Post.
Yeah.
They covered it as if it was some sort of goofy, funny gag.
Another
little snafu where somebody had called off he was talking to our longest-standing foe on the global stage and saying that he was going to work with them on the missile defense shield after he wins re-election and he doesn't have to answer to voters anymore.
Yeah.
Wow!
Yeah.
That was just an extraordinary secret negotiation that we happen to get a glimpse of, and it leaves me wondering, and it should leave every reporter in America wondering, well, what other secret deals has he made with in private,
yeah,
with global leaders, especially adversaries of ours, such as the president of Russia? I mean, what other promises are there? What else does he have up his sleeve for after he wins re-election?
Well, and keep in mind that this is the same president that just a couple of weeks ago, when Benjamin Netanyahu was in town, evidently they worked some kind of deal that if Netanyahu didn't launch an attack on Iran, he could have some of the advanced weaponry that we have available, including the bunker buster bombs.
Yeah, it truly is incredible how the way, you know, and I get so tired of hearing conservatives talk about, you know, mention this. But it really is amazing. Can you imagine if Bush had done something like this?
Oh, no.
Or some Republican president had done something like that with Bibi Netanyahu or called on a mic saying something like this. It would be a firestorm that it would just never cease.
Yep.
But Obama does it, and the media is like, he was caught, you know. You know, they think it's a joke or something.
Yeah. Supreme Court, Obamacare, and the fiasco there. I know that you commented on some of the arguments in the Supreme Court. I have one that just kind of sums up the way it went. I want to play this real quick.
For more than 80% of Americans, the insurance system does provide effective access. excuse me, it, because the excuse me.
Now that was some of the better work done by the Obama lawyers.
That sounded like me in a college exam. I mean, talk about unprepared. And it wasn't even. And he was stuttering. The poor guy was stuttering. Even before the tough questions came.
I know.
So it's like, what were you thinking? But you see, the White House today came out with, they made a big point to make a statement that the Solicitor General did a terrific job.
Listen to this. Yeah, listen to this. Here's Jay Carney talking about it.
The President is pleased with the presentation made by Don Verrilli, the Solicitor General, and his team.
He is? Did he hear the same thing?
It reminded me of the scene after Katrina where George Bush looked at what's his name and said, good job, Brian.
Yeah.
Heck of a job.
No, it's true.
It's just like, what are you talking about?
Well, and then Nancy Pelosi did the same thing. She came out and she's talking about what a great job the Solicitor General did, although she didn't hear it. She read the transcripts. You know what? It had to look a lot better in the transcripts than it sounded. That's for sure.
Yeah, it must have. But it's this sort of level of sort of delusion that makes me think that both the delusion that we hear on this and also the fact that they are really hitting back hard on every little thing that makes me think that they may be under serious fire, and nothing was more delusional and more hitting back harder than when Obama's campaign actually dispatched Stephanie Cutter to go on the TV and actually accuse Republicans of politicizing the Trayvon Martin case.
I know. I about spit my drink across the room when she did that. And not only that, we've heard from all of the left-wing media saying that it's all the Republicans' fault, all of this. And I just played a cut a few minutes ago from Arlene Holt Baker, who is the vice president of the AFL-CIO. And I wanted you to hear just the very first part of this, because this, when asked whose fault this whole Trayvon Martin thing was, listen to what she says.
It's absolutely conservative, right-wing policies that are to blame. The way I have been talking about it, and it has come to me lately, quite frankly, is this. The same folk that want to kill workers' rights in the workplace are the same folks that want to kill voters' votes, a targeted group of voters, in the voting booth. They want to kill the dream of immigrants, and now they are literally supporting legislation that is literally killing our children.
There you go. There you go.
I mean, that's one where Republicans or conservatives, if they want to advance their cause, they just pay to put her on the air.
Yeah.
Let her talk.
Yeah.
Let her talk.
And then, of course, there was more happy news this week when the president's budget went down in a close vote.
I keep forgetting it. When you go through the week and you go through all the terrible things and you keep forgetting that, oh, yeah. And he did manage to unify Congress. He managed to unify Democrats and Republicans completely on Capitol. I don't remember the last time that the House was so unified that they voted 414-0 in order to reject Obama's budget. It was truly a landmark vote by Congress.
Unbelievable. Yeah, well, it was a good week. Folks, if you haven't checked out Charlie's column, do it. It's called Brutal Week for Obama, the Worst of His Presidency, and I couldn't agree more. Charlie, great to talk to you. We'll do it again.
Likewise. Thanks, Andy.
Take care. Charlie Hurt here at the Washington Times.